We're so glad you've chosen to be with us today here on Family Talk with your host, psychologist and author, Dr. James Dobson. I'm Ryan Dobson here with Luann Crane. Luann, today we're going to hear a conversation with one of the leaders on Capitol Hill.
Well, Ryan, all of us know that there are many, many things that are broken down in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. and from time to time, our legislators disappoint us, no doubt about that. But every once in a while, we meet someone representing us in our nation's capital who really seems to get it. They understand the values that are important to us, and they are doing their absolute best to represent our beliefs there in those halls of Congress. And, you know, when that happens, it's kind of neat to introduce them to our listeners.
It is. And today we'll be visiting with one such representative. You and my dad had the opportunity to sit down with Congressman Louie Gohmert at the Response prayer event, which took place this past summer at Reliance Stadium in Houston, Texas.
Oh, that was a wonderful time. Ryan, we've talked about it here on this Family
Talk
broadcast.
I'm jealous I didn't get to go.
I would think so. You missed a lot. And your dad actually will fill us in more on what happened there in just a moment with what we're about to hear. Now, I know Congressman Gohmert's name is already familiar to many of you who live in Texas, but those who are not from the Lone Star State, let me give you some background. He's serving his fourth term as a congressman representing in the House, the 1st District of Texas. He and his wife, Kathy, have three daughters, and believe it or not, Louie Gohmert still teaches Sunday school at their church in Tyler, Texas.
Oh, that is awesome, Luann. The response was all about prayer, and today we're going to get an inside look at how prayer has affected Congressman Gohmert's personal life. So here now is your conversation with him on this Family Talk broadcast.
Doctor, we are literally sitting in the visiting team locker room in the outskirts of Reliance Stadium here in Houston, Texas, and you have met up with a very dear friend. Why don't you introduce him?
Well, this is quite a day, Luann. As you know, there are 25,000 people
easily
that are outside.
And you can hear the singing in the background, the worship going on.
And guess what? There's one more who's here.
Amen.
The Lord is here.
Absolutely.
And has been here all day. Mm-hmm. And it's a very exciting day. That gives us an opportunity to meet with some of the luminaries, some of the people who have come to be here. And one of them is sitting at the table with us today.
Non-luminary.
Congressman Louie Gohmert from East Texas, and one of my favorite congressmen. I mean, if there is one man who will stand up no matter what pressure is put on him and defend the things that I believe, you're the man. And thank you for taking the time to come and be with us today.
Well, thank you. It's always good to be with you, Jim. I appreciate the comments, but the better you know me, the better you know. It's like Stephen Curtis Chapman said, if the truth were known, a light were shown, and ever hidden part of my soul, most would turn away, shake their heads, and say, he's still got such a long way to go. If the truth were known, you'd see. The only good in me is Jesus.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and
that comes
I don't
from your
forget.
Heart, too, yeah. doesn't it?
I know.
How long have you been a believer?
Since I was 6 years old. And some people back at the time said, six is too young. He doesn't know what he's doing. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for the clarity and the simplicity of faith I had when I was 6 years old. It was very clear.
For what it's worth, I beat you by 3 years.
Did you
I was three.
Wow.
And I stepped out and went to an altar and knelt and wept and repented whatever I was repenting
and
of. I don't know.
Did the same thing.
But I remember it as though it were yesterday.
Too.
It stayed with me. Yeah. Don't tell me a child can't do business with God.
Yeah.
Because the Lord met me there at that altar, and it was a highlight of my life. And that is really scary to have everything be downhill after you were 3 years of age.
But God's worked with us a long way then.
Now, you're a lawyer. You were a judge. Right. You became Chief Justice of
the Court of Appeals.
Court of Appeals. They don't call it Chief Justice, do they?
Yes. In fact, I've been a captain in the military, judge, Chief Justice, congressman. of all my titles, Chief Justice was the most fun because everybody called you Chief. You know, you came in the morning, morning, Chief.
Would you call me Chief?
Yes, sir.
And that was just fun.
Trying to get Ryan to do that may be a problem. I don't know.
But that was the most fun title I've ever had.
And why did you run for Congress?
Well, you know, the longer I was a judge, and I had jurisdiction over major civil litigation and no family law or juvenile law, but felonies and criminal as well. And I began to notice I was having more single women come before me for welfare fraud. And, you know, you get the background and they put on testimony and have statements at the sentencing. And I never sent anybody to prison for welfare fraud. And these stories were basically the same. Somebody, some cases or even a family member, said, hey, you're bored with high school, drop out and have a baby. The government will send you a check. Mm. And so they would. And then they would find out, man, that's not enough money to live on. So they'd have another and another, thinking eventually they'll get ahead, but they would be lured further and further into a rut from which the ones that came before me could not get out. And some have. But the more I saw, the more it dawned on me, you know, we have got to make changes in our federal laws. We're luring people into ruts from which they don't have good ways to extricate themselves. It doesn't matter how well-intentioned. We got to change laws. And so we ended up running. Things fell together. And here I am in Congress.
What is your overall impression of the sausage making that goes on in Congress?
Well, just,
I mean, the American people don't have a very good feeling about what happens there, but they don't really know. Mm-hmm. They just know there's something not right. Yeah. About the way business is conducted in the U.S. Congress.
And
is that valid? Is that true?
Well, the reason people have that general feeling that's not good about the way things are done in Washington is because it's not really good the way things are done in Washington. And it is, as the old saying goes, you don't want to watch sausage or laws being made. It's not pretty. Now, when I first got to Congress, within a month I was asked, what was your biggest shock about getting here? And I had to really think about it, but my biggest shock was how many strong, good people were in Congress, how many Christian brothers and sisters really devoted were in Congress. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing, and you and I have talked about this before, but, you know, it's the elections for leadership in Congress are so important because whoever is leading determines what bills are brought to the floor for a vote, you know, what has a chance of coming to the floor, what has a chance of becoming law. And if a leader doesn't want it to come forward, it doesn't. If they don't want it in law, it doesn't get into law. So it was so critical. But those leadership elections are unlike any, you know, going back to elementary school, class president or Sunday school officer or whatever. Because always in the past, leaders are elected because either, A, they're the most popular, and that's usually what it is, or B, it's because people really think they'll be the best person in that spot. That's usually who gets elected. Not in Congress. It's really interesting. You get elected to be leader in the House or the Senate, either party, because one more than half will always vote for the person they think is going to win because people feel like, gee, I could just do so much more if I were on this committee or if I had this chairmanship and this guy looks like he's probably going to win. And if I'm on the wrong side of him and he gets elected, I don't get the committee I want. I don't get the chairmanship
I
want.
So even that is political.
It's extremely, but, you know, popular votes are political, but this is different. It's not who's the best leader or who's most popular. It's who do you one more than half think is going to win, and that's who gets elected.
No, wait. Now I got to stop you there.
You
have been Chief Justice of the Appeals Court, and you are not chairman of anything.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
There's got to be a story there.
Well,
you don't want to tell it, do you?
Well, it's just I have been outspoken on things that were not particularly helpful to becoming a chairman or getting an A committee. So, it gives me more time to read the bills and do research on things and be outspoken about
the
things.
So you really have more freedom.
I've got more freedom than most anybody. And, in fact, one of the Tea Party officers texted me last week or so when I was speaking out against the so-called deal. And I guess I'd been on Sean Hannity's radio show that afternoon being very, very blunt. And he texted me and said, aren't you going to get in trouble in your party for being so outspoken? And I texted him back, yeah, I could lose my chairmanship or my A committee. Oh, wait, I don't have one of those. Never mind. So,
Luann wants to ask you something that I was about to ask, but I'm going to have to step away from the table because there are people outside waiting for me.
Sure.
But I appreciate your being on our program. And I'm going to yield to her and let her ask you a very important question.
It's always an honor to be with you, Jim.
Thank you. You're always at the National Day of Prayer in Washington. Here you are today, and you care about the spiritual underpinnings for this country. And I know that I know you're deeply committed to Jesus Christ, and I love you for it. You're my brother. Thanks for being with us today.
You're my brother doctor.
Now we call him Chief.
That helped me raise my children.
Chief from now on.
Okay. Help me raise my children.
You're kind. Luann, go after
Honest.
Him.
Oh, I love it.
All right, Luann.
Thank you.
Take your best shot.
Well, Congressman, you alluded to it earlier when you said that you're not going to do what's popular or what's going to get you the right vote. And probably even being here today, you might take some hits for that. We know your governor did. But why are you here today at this prayer and fasting event?
Because not only do I believe in the power of prayer, I know the power of prayer. And, of course, Jesus said wherever two or more gathered, he's with us. And there are a lot more than two here.
Absolutely. You've seen that power of prayer in your life.
Oh, yeah. And I could – your show is not long enough for me to give you story after story about the power of prayer. But I can share one with you that affected our family. My mother was brilliant. She was from a very poor family, but they lived a block away from Baylor University. And so she put herself through Baylor, working full-time at the registrar's office did great in college, got through Baylor in 2.5 years working full time. She was amazing. She was a brilliant woman. And in the 70s, early 70s, she began, and she was an eighth grade English teacher, but she began to be more and more impetuous and do things sometimes that just didn't make sense. And coming from mother, that was just very strange. And she had seen our local doctor in a small town I grew up in, and he couldn't find anything wrong. And, in fact, at one point even told Dad, you know, if she gets much worse, you may just have to consider, you know, committing her.
Oh, my.
And, well, Mother was so smart, it drove her crazy to think she was going crazy. But she also had noticed she had lost some hearing in one of her ears, she believed. So she went to a doctor, went to Baylor University over in Longview, and we had found out about him when I was in third grade. I had a hearing problem, and he helped me to be able to hear again. And so she went over to see Dr. Norman in Longview, and he'd ran some tests, did x-rays and things, and said, well, Ms. Gohmert, you have lost most of your hearing in your right ear, and I thought I would find a little tumor in your inner ear, but there's nothing there. I can't explain why you've lost the hearing you have. Well, Mother was pleased that she had something, somebody objective who could verify something was different, something was going on.
Yeah.
But she continued to become more and more impetuous and have problems. And I have a brother 9 years younger that was still at home. I was in college at the time, but well, actually, I just started law school. But anyway, she was up one night and just completely distraught. And my youngest brother, who's now a pastor at a church near Richmond, Virginia, but he said that he got up around 2 and went up, and mother was on her knees. Mother, you okay? Yes, yes, I'm fine. Just going back to bed. Well, it turned out that night she had gotten on her knees and prayed a long time and said, Lord, you know I would not ever take my own life. I just won't do that, but I can't make it another day. You have got to do something. I'm at the end of my rope. Mm-hmm. You got to step in. Now, she had been to Dr. Norman several months before. He had not seen our family for years before that, many years. And we're not friends. Dr. Norman called at 8 in the morning and said, Ms. Gohmert, I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about you. Has your problem gotten any better? And she said, I'm worse. He said, see, I woke up and thinking you probably were. He said, I want to send you to Baylor Hospital in Dallas, have a neurologist friend of mine run tests however long it takes till we find out what's wrong. So they did. Mother and Dad quickly agreed. They went to Baylor, and it took 6 days, but they finally found a little tumor about the size of a walnut just inside in her ear. And then he was friends with one of the best neurosurgeons in the country, and sent, because of the way the tumor was situated, sent her to Mayo Clinic. When they got in, they found it was more the size of a grapefruit, and it was intermingled in her brain stem. And anyway, they got what they could, and they said it'd be back in a year or 20 years. They didn't know. Well, it took 15 before it got her. But the thing Mother could rejoice about, the thing I still rejoice about, God heard her prayer.
That's right.
There's no question in my mind why Dr. Norman woke up. Mm-hmm. Now, I could give you stories like that in my life, my family's life. I know God's at work.
You've taken that faith that you saw witnessed, the answer to prayer, the power of prayer, right all the way into your term as congressman. And I want to know, Congressman Gohmert, what are you praying for America? What is your heart's prayer for this land?
That we'll turn back to God. You know, this overspending, Luann, it is a major problem. Admiral Mullen said our largest problem is our overspending, our deficit. That's the biggest problem to our national security. Well, that's a moral issue. We are so focused on self. We have forgotten how we were founded. And if you go back and you can read, and Benjamin Franklin, James Madison did a summary of his remarks, but Ben Franklin wrote them down in his own handwriting that he spoke after about 5 weeks in the Constitutional Convention, and basically saying, you know, we've gone for nearly 5 weeks. We got more no's than ayes on virtually every vote. How has it happened that we've not once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understanding? But then he said, I've lived, sir, a long time. He was 80 at the time. He was a couple of years or so away from meeting his maker. I've lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth. God governs in the affairs of men. If a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it possible an empire could rise without his aid? We've been assured, sir, in the sacred writing that unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And then the so-called deist went on and said, firmly believe this. He said, I also firmly believe without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in our political building no better than the builders of Babel. And he went on along, but that's what I believe. You know, you look at the beliefs, you know, of the 56 that signed the Declaration of Independence. You had over a third of those who were ordained Christian ministers.
Goodness.
And actually, Randolph from Virginia made a motion in that same point that they ought to all go listen to a sermon in the same church, you know, on July the 4th. This was the end of June. And they did.
Hmm.
And they came back. And Jonathan Dayton indicates, you know, there was a new spirit in that group. Mm-hmm. And they got the Constitution together after that. They weren't going to have one were it not for the power of prayer and the influence of Christian ministers on that Congress.
Not the way that we think of separation of church and state today.
Oh, gosh.
My goodness.
Gosh. Yeah, and you look at Washington and the things he said. And you can go back and read. You can find it online. Franklin Roosevelt's prayer on D-Day.
Absolutely.
He goes on, and I've read that from the floor of the House a number of times because people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a little New Testament with a metal cover on the front of it that my uncle had in World War II that he was given by the government. You open it up, and on the flyleaf, I don't have it committed to memory like Franklin's speech, but it's Franklin Roosevelt's words saying, you know, I commend the reading of this book to you. You know, people throughout the ages have found it a source of strength.
See, Congressman,
signed by Franklin D. Roosevelt.
That's what concerns me. My children don't understand that is what we were birthed on.
That's
and
right.
In our generation, that's what we experienced.
That's
we
right.
had it coming out from the halls of Congress, people who firmly believed in our faith, and we're able to say that from the platform there in Congress, and that's being pushed back. But we are here today for a different reason.
Yes, we are. And one of my favorite prayers was by Peter Marshall back in the 1940s. Was chaplain of the U.S. Senate, and one of his lines in there, he says, he prays about the things we call crises. And God sees his opportunities.
Hmm. I am wondering if you would even offer up a prayer here as we close. Would you pray on behalf of our nation for us right now?
I'd be honored.
Thank you.
I do constantly. But
thank you.
Our dear Father, you have showed us that where two or more are gathered, that you're with us. And we praise you. We thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Father, you have given us as a people the greatest gift any group of people have ever been given, this country.
Hmm.
The freedoms and the liberties like no one has ever experienced in any country in history, and you've given that to us. And Father, we know it's not for anything we had done that we deserve to be born here or we deserve to get here and live in this kind of liberty and freedom. It was because of people in prior generations followed your teachings, did what you said would cause them to be blessed. And so, Father, the last thing we want is for future generations to look back and say, we lost our liberties because that generation was too self-serving and walked away from you and walked away from what you said would make them blessed. So, Father, we pray that you will open the eyes of our heart and lead us in the way. Show us the things that will cause future generations to be blessed because of our faithfulness, so that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will always be acceptable in your sight.
Mm.
Forgive me for pride. Forgive me for not focusing on you all the time. And Father, just give us the wisdom and the discernment to know what is right, to do what is right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Congressman.
Luann, what a moving prayer from Congressman Louis Gohmert here on this Family Talk broadcast. So often, those serving our country in Washington, D.C. just seem removed from our everyday lives. And it's nice to take this time and get to know a little bit more about this representative who hails from the 1st District of Texas.
And this man practices what he preaches, Ryan. Mm. As we said at the top, Congressman Gohmert still teaches Sunday school at his home church in Tyler, Texas. And And again, those who serve on Capitol Hill, they take a lot of hits from the media, including us from time to time. But once in a while, you meet someone like Congressman Gohmert who believes many of the same things we do.
Well, it's so nice to hear his story and to see the way the Lord has worked in his life.
Well, I sure enjoyed meeting the congressman. And Ryan, I really appreciated the warm words of gratitude he had for your dad for the writings of Dr. Dobson over these years. This gentleman had such kind words to share.
And I know my dad appreciates that. Luann, and listeners should know they can find much of my dad's classic marriage and parenting advice all over our website at familytalk.org.
Or you can give us a call for any of that information. The phone number, 877-732-6825, 877-732-6825. Thanks so much for spending this time with us today, and hope you'll return next time for Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson.